You can turn to start with 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy, it's towards the back of the Bible. It's in the New Testament, way back towards the back. It's in the T section, right? It's in Thessalonians and Timothy and, you know, all the T's. That's a way you can learn to remember the books of the Bible. You can group them in different ways, and then you'll know about where they're at, and then you'll get there a little bit more quickly. I have a question for you. If you've been here for a while, you'll be able to answer it better than those who've not. Is Faith Community Church, this church, following God and working according to His purpose?
Yes.
Wow, that's very resounding. So we are on the right track, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to stay there. Do you know God's purpose for this church? Make disciples, yes. But I want you to go a little deeper than that. So I'm going to tell you what the purpose is. The purpose of this church is to spread the truth. The truth about the person and purpose of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Because without what He did for us, we would still be lost sinners. And we would be on our way to eternal torment. But praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He came obedient to the Father and intervened so that we won't have to suffer that. The only suffering we're going to suffer is here in the world. But we even have consolation for that. We know that the Lord is with us. We can think about Him all the time. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And if we will just obey Him and humble ourselves to His direction, things would go smoother, more smoothly than not, right? But if you ask a believer, if you ask a Christian, they'll tell you that it's not always smooth sailing. It's not 100% freedom from tribulation. Why not? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy that's against us. Every moment, he's against us. And he uses everything in this world to come against us. You can't get away from his attack. Sometimes it's more intense than at other times, but it's always there. His denial of the Lord, his denial of the Godhead, his denial of the Scripture, his denial of your life living to honor Jesus Christ, who is your Savior, if you have asked Him to do that.
Amen.
You don't get automatically saved. The Scripture says, call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. So you have to call on the Lord. Why Him? Because He's the one that provided the blood sacrifice and the body sacrifice that frees you from sin. He's the only one that can do it. There is no other one that can free you from sin, just Him. So call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Does that mean you'll be free from all trial and tribulation in the world? No. You're in the world. It's a fallen world. You have to deal with that. But you have the Holy Spirit living in you. That's God in you. And He will direct you to have a better time here. And if you accept that leadership, you'll have that better time. Even though you may suffer. You want to know about suffering? Look at the life of the Apostle Paul and what he went through. But through that suffering, he gave us 12 books in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit used him to write 12 books in the New Testament. And some people want to give him credit for another one too, but that's up for debate. But because he humbled himself to the Holy Spirit and served God, he was allowed to do that. I would say that's a privilege. So, even though we accept Jesus Christ, even though we walk in the Spirit, we're still going to face difficulty. But you can face that difficulty with confidence if you walk in the Spirit. Well, what is walking in the Spirit? What does that mean? That means you submit yourself to the Scriptures. You do what the New Testament Scriptures command you to do. Because who wrote, who gave us the New Testament Scriptures? Yes, God in the form of the Holy Spirit. He spoke through men of old and gave us God's direction for living in this world. So if you want to have the best possible time of living in this world, follow the Holy Spirit and what He says to do in the New Testament. I'm not saying you won't have some hard times, but even those hard times will seem like the best of times. That's a challenge for you. See, taste and see if the Lord is good. That just means try it. Follow the Holy Spirit. Give your life to the Lord. Do what He says to do as much as you possibly can. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to slip and fall sometimes. But that's all right. You're trying. And that's what we all need to do, right? Amen. So, our job is to spread the truth about the person and purpose of Jesus Christ. God's purpose for the church teaches us two outstanding truths. These are two truths that we need to keep in mind as we are here in this church and working for the Lord through this church. Number one, first truth. Jesus Christ is the pillar and foundation of the truth for this church, all of His churches, and for all things. Jesus Christ is the truth. And He will tell you the truth. He won't shine you on. He won't, you know, mess around with. No, He'll tell you the truth. Sometimes that'll hurt. But if you know the truth, you'll be what?
Free.
Set free. You'll be set free,
free indeed,
to enjoy life with Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ is the pillar and foundation of truth for this church, all churches, and all things. Now, when I say all churches, I really can't say all churches without qualifying that. All churches who honor and walk with Jesus Christ. That's really the qualifier, right? It's all about Him. The Holy Spirit is guiding us through the writings of the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to write Scripture, amen? And he says this in 1 Timothy 3:15. I said 1 Timothy, now you know where you're going, right? 3:15, sorry about that. Is it okay if I get excited and forget a few things every now and then? That's what it is. It's excitement. Well, here's what the Holy Spirit told us through the Apostle Paul as he wrote to his protege Timothy. He says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. How are you supposed to act at church? How do you know how to act at church? It's right here. Here's the manual, right? The Holy Spirit gave us that so we would know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. That's what this church is. It's an assembly that preaches, teaches, honors Jesus Christ, the living God. Why do we call Him the living God? Because He was crucified, He was killed, He was murdered, but then 3 days later He came back to life, didn't He? He was resurrected. That's why we call Him the living God. There is no other God like that. All other gods who came and said, I'm God, they died. And they didn't come back to life. Check it out. You can check all of them, and they'll all be in that same category, all right? Conduct yourself now. This is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. You want the truth? Go to the New Testament and start reading it. You might need some help to understand it. Get yourself some books. Ask pastors, ask elders, ask people in the church. Ask. It's okay if you don't understand something and you say, hey, what does this mean? We'll be happy to give you some help. So the question now is, what is God's truth? Do you know what God's truth is? Right here. You have it in a encapsulated form. You don't have to go gathering it around, you know, wherever. It's right there for you, all in one complete volume. New Testament, Old Testament, right? So you can have it in your hand. So God's truth is His Word. That's what I'm saying. It's His Word. All right, I'll try to stick to my script here. I'm getting kind of wordy, too wordy. God's Word is His truth. Where do we find God's truth today? I just showed you in the Scripture, right? It's in the Scripture. All Scriptures are not the same. So if you're going to buy yourself a new Bible and you're not sure, ask someone who might know which one would be the best one. And then you have a choice, right? You can choose the one you want. God's Word is truth. In Scripture, it's God's Word. God's Word is the truth, says the Gospel of John in chapter 17 and verse 17. God's Word is truth. You want the truth? Go to God's Word. That's the bottom line on that. Yet God's Word is not a thing. It's not just a thing. It's a living person. It's a living person. We call Him Jesus. He's the living Word. God's Word is truth. And it isn't a thing, it's a person. A person who seeks us. Jesus said this to Zacchaeus. You know who Zacchaeus was? He was a guy seeking God, right? And Jesus was going to come into his town one day, and he was kind of a short guy, and he couldn't see over the crowds, so he climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. So here he is sitting in the tree. Jesus comes by, and he stops, and he points out Zacchaeus, and he says, come down here. And he talks with him, right? So he comes by, and Zacchaeus is there. He said this in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, that's what He called Himself. The Son of Man has come to seek, you know, look for. He come to seek and save that which was lost. Listen, the Lord wasn't talking about lost sheep here. He's talking about lost humans. How many humans are lost at birth? All of them. Every person is lost. That means they're a born sinner. You don't have any choice in the matter. You inherited Adam's sin. Sorry. That's just what God's Word says and what God says. So what do you do about it? You seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask Him to forgive you. He does. And you're cleansed of all that sin. And now you're ready to walk with Him. It's a great thing, right? So Jesus is talking about lost people. He's talking to a man in a city who's up in a tree. You ever been up a tree? And couldn't get down? Didn't know what you were going to do? And what if there was nobody around to help you? You screamed and hollered. Nobody came. You see, every now and then, I bet all of us get up a tree and we need help. And that's okay. You get the help by calling on others. And Zacchaeus is going to have to call on Jesus to get the help he needs, because he needs to get rid of his sin. So by His own words, the Lord later declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. The way to what? Sinlessness, so I can be with God forever. I am the truth. The truth about what? Our sinful condition. So we know what to do and get rid of that, right? Call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. and the life. The life, what kind of life? A life living, honoring Jesus Christ, and then going to be with Him for eternity in glory. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then He added, no man cometh to the Father except by Me. There's no other way. No other way to go to heaven except Jesus. Now some people are going to say, oh, that's not true. That's not true. There's other ways to heaven. Listen, are you going to believe people or are you going to believe God's Word? That's a decision you have to make. I'm advising you to believe God's Word. You'll make it if you believe God's Word. So do that, please, because I want to see you there. You know, I don't know how many people are going to be there. I'm hoping I'm running into people that I know, and so I can say hi to them up there, right? So we need the truth to be saved, to be in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and on our way to eternity with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, the truth of God's church is what we're talking about. And the truth of God's church is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. That's why we talk about Him so much. You want to know the truth? Jesus. And He tells you the truth. If something doesn't line up with the truth of the Lord, it doesn't belong in church. It's just that simple. Cut and dried, black and white. That's why we don't do some things that other churches might do. They can do what they want to do, but we go by the Scripture and honor the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's what we do. Jesus Christ is the pillar and foundation of truth for this church and for others if they believe in Him and honor Him and all things. He's the truth about all things. All other teachings of Christ's church should be based on that truth. Are you thinking around what truth? What did He just say? I'll say it again. Jesus Christ is the pillar and foundation of truth. And I said in this church and other churches and in the world, but He's the pillar of truth for all things. You don't have to limit it. He'll give you the truth because He wants you to be with Him. Amen? Amen? You could name a million things that don't belong in church, but that's not why we're here. We're here because we want to talk about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. You know what all those things are? The fruit of the Spirit. When you follow the Holy Spirit, He's encouraging you to show all those positive attributes. Why? Because they encourage us. They encourage us to encourage one another. And we go away feeling good from church. Is it okay to go away feeling good from church? Of course it is. The Lord wants you to feel good because guess what? When you go out those doors, you're going to face all kinds of negativity and hearsay and who knows what. So you want to feel good. And every time you think about Jesus, you feel good. Because you know He's for you. He's in your corner. He's doing things for you. He gave you His Holy Spirit so you could be led into all those good things. And that's why you feel good about it, right? Those are called the fruit of the Spirit. And we are here to learn how to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit to others. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling you about the fruit of the Spirit. And then you can tell others, right? You can show them. Not just tell them, but show them the love. Show them your faithfulness. Show them your goodness. Show them your meekness. That's what it's all about. Get into the action. Remember when you played team sports, you wanted to get in the game? Coach said, no, you got to sit on the bench. No, I want to be in the game. Okay, here's your chance. Get in the game, right? So, we're to produce the fruit of the Spirit. How can we produce the fruit of the Spirit? The truth is, we can only produce the Spirit's fruit when we've asked Jesus to save us. Because if we didn't ask Jesus to save us, we're not saved. And if we're not saved, we don't have the Holy Spirit in us. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, we can't share His fruit because we don't have it. And so that's why it's important. It's not just so you can end up in heaven, although that's the goal. You want to be there in glory. But in the meantime, you want to be able to share the fruit. You want to be positive to people about Jesus.
Amen.
Is there any negativity out there about Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
And it gets greater every day, doesn't it? Greater every day. You know what? I thank God that we have a president now who extols Jesus. No, he's not right on every little detail he says, okay? He kind of says some things that, you know, you kind of scratch your head about. But at least he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Lord. That's more than we've gotten for a long, long time, isn't it? So praise God he's doing that. We are longing for that salvation we get when we cry out to Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Without Christ, you have no hope of heaven. It's only for those who've called on Jesus. That's it. Not my rule. God's rule. That's the way it is. That's the way He wants it. He's very narrow-minded. Okay? But praise God, He will save you from all your sin if you call on Him. It's more than some will do. A lot more. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the pillar and foundation of the truth of the church. The church of Jesus Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's where I want to go. How about you? Because there's only two places to go when we leave here. The other one is not so good. Okay? Hope of glory. That's what we want. No other teaching or activity should be exalted over that truth. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Nothing else is more important. Can you think of anything more important to you than getting into glory, getting into heaven? No, it's that important. Nothing else compares to it. So then the first truth about Christ's church, this is one of Christ's churches, He has many. The first truth about Christ's church is that Jesus Christ is the pillar and foundation of truth. The truth for this church, the truth for really all the world. That's why we treat the Bible with that kind of respect. It's the truth.
Amen.
You want to know the truth? Read the Scriptures. Read the Bible. Memorize it. Live by it. You'll be walking in the truth. Amen? That's the first truth. The second truth is this. There's only two, so you know we're getting towards the end here, okay? The second outstanding truth is this. Christ alone is the head of the church. He's the head. Nobody else. Just Him. Well, I know you're thinking, well, what about the Father and the Holy Spirit? What have they got to do with it? Listen, they're all one. They're all one. When you get one, you get them all. Okay, so they're all there. It's His church, and He's the head of it. Nobody else gets to tell you what to do in this church. Of course, we try to guide each other, don't we? According to this Scripture, and that's okay. We should do that. Because, listen, what do friends do for friends? They show them the truth. They help them out, right? They guide them in the right direction. That's all I'm saying. We're helping them, each other, to understand. Colossians 1, chapter 1, Colossians, and verse 18. as spoken by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke all this stuff and the apostles wrote it down. Here's what he says. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. That's God, the Holy Spirit, telling you that's the truth. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Well, what does that mean? He's the very first. He's the original. He's the mold that we should follow, right? You want to be like Jesus, you have to call on the Lord and be saved and follow him, right? It follows logically that as the pillar and foundation of the truth, Christ is the head of his body. What does that mean? He's the head of the body. That means what he says goes. He's the boss. It's not what I think. It's not what the elders think. We are guides. We try to help guide you. But the Lord is the boss. And we follow him. We follow the words of the Holy Spirit that tells us the nitty-gritty about the head of the body. This is fact, that Christ alone is the head of the church, nobody else. And it makes the local church the place where the Bible, God's written life of Christ, has authority over all believers. If we have a problem, we look to this to see what we need to do about it. If you have a problem, you can look to this to see what you need to do about it. If you want to celebrate, you can look to this to see what's the best way to celebrate. It guides you in all kinds of things throughout your life. Use it often. So it's God's Word. It's God's truth. It's the expression, the written expression of the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's Jesus. That's who's being described there. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's who we're talking about. The head of the church. God's Word, His truth, is the written expression of the living Word, Jesus Christ. The Bible is the only infallible, that means errorless, rule of faith and practice for Christ's church. What should the church be doing? What should it be involved in? What this says, that's what we go by. The Scripture is the errorless rule of faith and practice for Christ's church. Hear me now. I did not say that your faith and practice was errorless. No, I didn't say that. Because we're human. We make mistakes, don't we? I said that God said that His Word, His Scripture, is without error in its original form. This is not the original form, but it's as close to it as we can get based on the original manuscripts. What do I mean? I mean the manuscript that the Apostle Paul sat down and wrote or had written. I mean the one that Moses sat down and wrote. They have parts of that, but they don't have the whole thing in pristine condition. But they have enough that we know what the Lord wants. Amen?
Amen?
We know how to live because of that. The Bible, the Scriptures, are guide for Christian faith and practice. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 tells us, and I quote, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith." That would be faith in Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. How much of it?
All.
all of it, is given by inspiration of God. Do you know what that means? God breathed it out through the Holy Spirit, and the apostles wrote it down, or Moses, or whoever in the Old Testament was doing it. And it's profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? It's what the church operates by. It's how we do things. It's what we believe about God. And for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It's being like God. It's trying to be like God. That's our goal. We want to be like Jesus, right? And it's there so that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that imply? We'll be doing good work. Good works. What are some examples of good works? Praying for people, helping them, going visiting them in the hospital, giving them guidance when they need some guidance on something, whether it's a secular issue or something from the church, you can help people out, right? There's a lot of people looking for help right now because it's tax season. How many of you do your own taxes? Oh, you're brave. Boy, you're brave. Okay. But we have the scriptures to guide us in all things. So Christ Church is the church. Christ Church is the church. It honors Christ and everything about Him. That's what makes it His church. Where only biblical standards from the Scripture are the authority. It's not what I think that we go by here in the church. I get what I think from this. And if I don't get it right, the other elders say, hey, you didn't get that right. That's not what that means. You've got to go back and redo it, right? That's how this works. We don't just randomly say we're going to do it like this. No, we have a basis for it. It's called God's Word, the Scripture. It's our authority. It's how the gospel is preached. It's why we condemn sin. It's why our worship is coming from the heart, because that's the way the Lord wants it. He wants us to be sincere and heart-feeling in our worship. The teaching is biblical. It's based on His Word. And there are opportunities to encourage one another and minister to one another. You can do that. Anybody going to complain about you helping them? I don't think so. This is a model that the early church followed. It's found in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2, around verse 42 through 47. The early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, wait a minute, why didn't they use the Bible? They didn't have it. They were writing it as they went along. So where were they getting it? The Holy Spirit was giving it to them, breathing it through them, and they were giving it out to the church they had under them, and somebody was writing it down, guided by the Holy Spirit. So they were practicing the apostles' teaching, which was coming from God, and to fellowship. What is fellowship? It's not getting together to eat. Okay? We call that fellowship, don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to fellowship. We're going to have a meal over in the fellowship hall. Because that's what you do in the fellowship hall, right? No. We're going to talk about the Scripture. That's what Jim's class on Sunday morning, we talk about the Scripture. We talk about the Bible. In the fellowship hall. We fellowship around God's Word. Right? Don't worry, we're going to eat. Okay? That's the very next thing that it says. It says the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Oh, and then the breaking of bread. There's two kinds of breaking of bread. We did one kind this morning. We broke the bread in communion. That's one kind. But there's the other kind where you have a meal together. You fellowship over a meal. You break bread, right? And that's okay. That's part of it. That's part of it. The breaking of bread, and then after that, what? Prayer. You pray. You pray together. You pray with the Lord. You pray with the Holy Spirit. You pray. It's all there. Back then, they practiced breaking of bread in their homes because they didn't have a church. That came much later. Some people don't practice these things in church today. They practice these things in their home or in small groups in homes. That has its pros and cons, but you can do it if you choose that way. Today, Christians should be attending a local fellowship, a church that does what? Declares Christ as the head of the church and preaches and teaches His headship in all matters of doctrine and practice. Doesn't matter what this church does, if it's not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, we should stop doing it. That's the black and white of it. Christ is the one supreme authority of the church. What He says is what we do to the best of our ability. All church leadership, gifts, order, discipline, and worship are appointed through God's sovereign word. We follow the scriptures in these things as found in His book. Given by who? The Holy Spirit, who is God, right? So we're directed by God. Once these two fundamental truths are set, do you remember them? Let me say them again. God's church is based on the truth through the Scripture. And the Scripture is Jesus Christ. So it's based on that. God's church is based on God's truth through the Scripture. And Christ alone is the head of the church. We should always remember those two things, at least about the church. Other factors of church, like buildings, worship styles, activities, programs, location, etc., are a matter of personal preference. Do all churches do things the same way? No, because they prefer to do it another way. They will have to answer to the Lord for what they're doing. So pray for them that they're doing the right thing. Pray for us that we're doing the right thing. Never hurts to have that prayer. Once those two things are set, then you can deal with the other stuff. We live in a time where we may preview a church. You know how to do that? You get online. You go online and you put in the name of the church and you pull up their website. And they should have on that website their statement of faith and their doctrines, how they do things. They might have some pictures on there and tell you what they're doing in Sunday school and this and that and who their leadership is. There's a lot of stuff on there. But you can preview a church without even going there now. And then if you think, well, that sounds like a church I might fit in, then you go and try it. Is all of that okay with the Lord? Of course it is. He wants you to be secure in what you're doing. So you look at what they believe about God, the Bible, the Trinity, Jesus, sin, salvation, all of those things. If possible, you view the documents that they give you about what they believe. That gives you insight into the church. The Lord wants us to act on our faith. What's the number one thing you got to do if you're going to act on your faith? Find a church that you're going to fellowship with. Yes, I'm assuming you're already gotten saved, called on the Lord and got saved, right? Amen. So now you've got to find a place to worship. Does the Lord want you to go through life worshiping by yourself? No. In fact, He tells us not to neglect the gathering and fellowship of the saints. We're to be involved with the church. The Lord wants us to act on our faith, but it doesn't have to be blind faith. Do the research, then go and check it out. Serve the Lord in a church where Jesus Christ is the pillar and foundation of truth. Amen. that's not there, find another church. It's that simple. And a church where Christ alone is the head of the church. They don't go by some other writing. They go by this, the Scripture. Find that church. Support that church. Be a part of that church. Serve the Lord through that church. I encourage you to do that. Serve the Lord through a church that believes those two things and the Scriptures, and they trust God because Christ is the head of the church. We do what we do to honor Him. If the Holy Spirit has somehow spoken to you through all of this, and you haven't been saved before, or you're not sure if you were saved before, you can come and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. You can do that. I would ask you to come up front and just tell me, I want to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Or you can just simply say, I want to get saved. And we'll talk about how to do that, right? That's another reason why we meet. We want to offer what the Lord offers, salvation. We can't give it to you. We can only guide you to get it from Him. He's the one who saves you. So please do that. If the Holy Spirit has put some other matter on your heart, come and find peace. That's what this altar's for. It's to come and find peace. Peace with God. Peace with each other. Peace with somebody that you're having a difficulty with. Come and find peace. It's not, you know, rocket science. You're just asking the Lord to help you. Do something, right? Whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do, to take care of, come and settle it. You'll be at peace. Come and settle it.